Welcome back to the second episode of Behind the Business, where we give you all the inside scoop on what is going on behind the scenes at Her Sports. So it's been a busy few months since we last caught up with everybody. Do you want to run us through a couple of things that have been going on?
Yeah, it's been, what was it, July that we last filmed? We had the World Cup, we've had two new joiners. You finished your Going for Growth program. There's a whole list of things, I suppose. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, I suppose first things first really is the expansion of the team. I think that's something that, you know, we had been planning for several months, and we mentioned in the last episode that Alana Canaan would be joining us, so she has since started, and it's been great to have Alana, Deb and Jess working together. I think we now have a dynamic team and they're able to take on projects together. It's great to have like the team working together, coming up with like new concepts and creativity and that type of thing, so that's exciting. And then we've also recently had Molly O'Neill join us, and she's joining us on the client management team, which is great because, you know, myself and yourself work a lot with the brands, and it's great to have somebody else to work with us on that. And one of the big projects she'll be undertaking over the next couple of months, which will be the Her Sport Awards. So lots going on over the next few months.
Yeah, I think she's settling quite well as well. I know she's been jumping into three or four different things, and she hasn't had any complaints so far, so that's good.
Willing to get stuck in anyway, which is a good thing, and always the type of, I suppose, attitude that we like to see in the team members. But I think in other news, Chantal has obviously gone on maternity leave, so an exciting new addition to their family. So we're excited for Chantal and Harry, and they have a new baby girl. She talked about the baby potentially being a new Her Sport mascot, and I think something, you know, for her now, she'd be trying to pave the way for her daughter and the future that she will have in the terms of in the world of women's sport.
Yeah, I know we won't be sharing any names to keep her privacy, but we did have a little game of our own in Her Sport trying to pick out the best name for Chantal's baby, and I think Lanestro is the winner. If you want to explain what exactly that is.
Yeah, so Deb wanted everybody to come together and pitch some ideas for baby names. So Chantal had given a bit of an inside scoop that they were going with an Irish name, and then we all pitched a few names. So we'll share that content soon. And I put forward Lanestra. I had seen online that somebody had previously done this to their wife. They had put forward that name for their baby, and it was only a couple of years later that the wife realised that Lanestra was actually Arsenal backwards, which was the husband's favourite football team. So that Chantal went with that as the winning name, but the baby has not actually been called that. So.
It'd be quite fitting as well, because I know Chantal was saying that all over TikTok is Kate McCabe. So
yeah, she's a big fan. She's a big fan of Leah Williamson too. So you never know. Maybe it could be a nickname.
Yeah, my former employees KPMG, you were on a program, Going for Growth.
Yeah, so I've been a part of the Going for Growth program. I was part of it for 6 months. I was actually recently at the Going for Growth forum as well. So it's supported by KPMG and by Enterprise Ireland, and run by a very inspirational woman in Paula Fitzsimons. So it's been a brilliant program. Basically have been part of a group that is mentored by Marissa Carter, founder of Coco Brown and Carter Beauty, and she would have been mentoring about 8 of us, where we all come from different backgrounds, actually different businesses. Everybody really wants to scale their business, you know, interested in expanding their team, bringing their business to bigger and better things, whether it's nationally or internationally. So great to learn from each other. As I said, like, everybody's from different backgrounds. Like, so we have food businesses, we have like a range of different things, and it's just good to learn from each other and get different perspectives. Like, from our perspective, like, obviously one of the things that we're trying to develop is education, and I have a couple moms in the group, so it's great to always be able to chat to them and understand what their opinion is on the world of women's sport and how they want to keep their daughters in sport and that type of thing. A couple of them have daughters that are super fans of the football team, which is exciting too.
Would you recommend other people to maybe apply and see how they get on? It was just an application form.
Totally. I think it's been brilliant. Like, I think there's good structure around like the topics that we would be discussing monthly. You have to commit an amount of time, but it's not too much. We did get homework, which was good, and good to discuss those and follow along an actual structure and talk about specific things that are relevant to businesses that are trying to grow and scale. And then in terms of the network, like it's great to be able to reach out to people that are in the network and say, hey, like I saw you were Going for Growth a couple of years ago. I participated in the program this year, would love to chat to you about X, Y, and Z. So having some really interesting conversations, and you know, the forum that was on a couple of weeks ago, that brings together people from, I suppose, different graduate classes where you can come together and meet different people. So yeah, ran into some really interesting people and had some good conversations. One of which who was Dervla Rourke, so it was good to catch up with her. She doesn't maybe remember, definitely doesn't remember, but I would have met her probably when I was 14 or 15, down in Santry when she was still competing. So I was probably down doing a West Leinster Schools or Leinster Schools competition or something, and she was still there training. So somebody that I would have known, but now I suppose in terms of what we've been doing with her sport, like she's aware of who we are, what we do. So she came over and introduced herself and was introducing me to other people, I suppose, as someone that's changing the game for women's sport. So it's it kind of a bit of a full circle moment, I suppose, where someone that I would have looked at probably at that stage like, wow, like you've been to the Olympics, now is you know, really supportive of what we're doing and you know, trying to change things for the future of her kids and her daughter. So yeah, it was great to meet people, and yeah, always interesting conversations happening there too.
Yeah, like Dervla, who you probably grew up as maybe a hero of yours, I don't know, but I guess it shows you that maybe we are doing a decent job if people like that who have a prominent voice in women's sport are now recognizing you and us as a voice for women's sport. That's that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, great to learn from Marissa. Like, she's so generous with her time, and you know, we can learn a range of different things from her. She's been very open, I suppose, with her experiences in business and allowing us to learn, I suppose, from the different things that she has done over the years, whether they've been you know, wins and things that have gone in the right direction, or maybe some mistakes that she has potentially made. And that's something that we always try to do when we're talking to new businesses, is try and share the mistakes that we have made or things that we have found challenging, so that people can, you know, not fall into the same traps and have as much success as possible. So yeah, no, it's brilliant to learn from Marissa and from the group as well. I suppose as a quick update for people, you know, in the last episode we mentioned that we had 61,800 followers on Instagram, which had been a huge growth trajectory we were on over the few weeks previous, and now we're actually just around the corner from 70,000, and we've readjusted our targets for the year based on the performance in July. Like, we experienced some rapid growth. Our targets originally for the end of this year was to be 180,000 in our community across all our social platforms, and at the moment we're already over 170,000. So something that's exciting, you know, that we're readjusting our goals. We were hitting these targets and you know, growing further and further. So we're now looking at 200,000 for the end of the year, so just 30,000 to go.
Yeah, I suppose it's testament to the content and the work that the team and ourselves have been putting into the content that we're creating. I know that's obviously Instagram, you're saying close to 70k, and then I know YouTube, we've been putting out some really good content. Dev's been doing a lot of the video essays, which have been going well. We've started doing reaction videos now as well, which I think are very much tailored to YouTube and probably are more of what a YouTube audience wants to see. So I think that's an interesting insight that we've learned over the last couple of weeks and months, that if you want to create content that go well on particular platforms, you're gonna have to create content that works on those particular platforms. And I know people talk about streamlining your content across all platforms, just sharing the same thing, which obviously saves time, but it might not be the most efficient thing. So if you put in that extra bit of work, we are kind of seeing the fruits of that. I know our subscribers on YouTube now have, it's close to 7k, and yep, we're trying to hit 10k, so it's exciting. Instagram is one thing, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn.
So straight to the camera, what do they need to do?
Like and subscribe.
Well, it's something that we're trying to achieve. So look, if you are watching this video and if you are interested in more content like this, definitely hit that subscribe button. And yeah, the more engagement and feedback, I suppose, we get from our community as well, means that we can produce the content that they're looking for. So one thing that we have been doing consistently is feature interviews with athletes every Thursday on the Her Sport Show, as well as creating, you know, the video essays that you mentioned, and then some of the reaction videos. So talking about some interesting topics topics, like the Mary Earps versus Nike situation and a couple more. So yeah, you in terms of the audience, we'd love to hear what is the content that you're enjoying. Comment below and let us know what would you like to see more of. What questions do you want to ask us, maybe on Behind the Business, or what questions would you like to ask some athletes? So I think that's good. We want that insight. This is the point of this show, is to create open dialogue with the community.
Yeah, I think as well, if anyone hasn't seen some of the video essays, I definitely, you know, encourage you to check it out, because the time that it takes to produce those as well is significant. The mm-hmm. the research that goes into it, the editing, which I think is incredible. I think the overall production of it is great, and I know obviously I'm going to say that because I work at Her Sport. But
Deb's just sitting over there as well, so
no, but it is really good, and I think if you watch it, it's something that we're trying to bring women's sport content up to the next level. You see that kind of content for other things, but you probably don't see that level for women's sport. So mm-hmm. that's what we want to be, the go-to source for all things women's sport. So keep pushing that quality, but also the level that we want to get to, even in terms of, I know that's the YouTube side, but we are also doing like green screen videos, which are basically telling news stories and sharing insight into teams, players, that sort of thing, in a different way, in a way that we think people are consuming content more now. So I suppose by video as opposed to just purely articles or whatever it might be. So, and we're seeing success in that. I think that is attributing to our growth as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers on the videos, I suppose, speak for themselves. So it's cool to see. It's cool to see that we're, I know the last time when we did this, we were saying, like, you asked, like, what has changed? And I think I had said that everything changed, and we're mm-hmm. always keeping up with new trends. I know you guys, even today, filmed a TikTok video.
Do we want to do the live reaction now for the TikTok?
We'll save it for later. But I think that's just the kind of things that, look, we're doing. We're keeping up to date with what's going on in the world of sport, not only women's sport, I mean, I guess just the world of media. So yeah, that's something that I think is important, that we continue to keep being different.
Yeah, and I suppose you know, I think the expansion of the team absolutely allows us to try new things and turn things around quicker, and the world of women's sport is so new, and the content that people are interested in is going to evolve all the time. And you know, we're trying to build the super fans, build that audience, and that's going to take time. So in 5 years, we'll maybe see people interested in content more similar maybe to the men's, like you mentioned the last time about you know, 50 accounts being attributed to Messi's left foot and that type of thing. And I think we'll see that in the future. But you know, we're trying to educate our audience and share some of these great stories in a way that they want to consume and can come along the journey. And I suppose this could be maybe a good time to mention you know, someone that we can directly attribute what we have done and impacted her in becoming a super fan. So we had somebody come along to the watch party that we hosted for the World Cup. She got really into the football, really passionate about football and the team there at that day. Like, that was her, I suppose, life-changing moment in terms of becoming a football fan. And she went and bought her tickets for the Aviva game that was held in September. She bought the tickets that day and then has been just really, really immersed herself in terms of the fan culture on TikTok, following the different athletes. She actually went over to an Arsenal game a couple of weeks back with a few of the friends. So they're actually really getting into the sport and into the community. But it's, I suppose, the events that we're having in terms of inviting people into that world to get into the experience. It's really working, like some of the things that we're doing. And it's going to take a couple of years to do that, but some of the content that we're trying to put out there is to be inviting and to educate people. Like the video essay on football, like, people don't know those things all the time, so being able to share that with somebody is really great.
Yeah, well, she definitely is a super fan, because I remember after the Ireland Northern Ireland game at the Aviva Stadium, I think we were standing outside the close to the stadium anyway, and she saw Caitlin Ford walk by, and I think she would be the only person who would have been able to recognize her. Like, I don't think I would have been able to recognize her, because obviously Caitlin was wearing a hat and everything. So that was pretty cool to see. And then she got a photo with her as well. I think you can probably pop it up on the screen. But yeah, it's cool to see. It's cool to see the impact that we're having, not only on people participating, people watching, but then also attending games. So that's obviously part of our goals, and to have a real life example. It's cool.
Yeah, maybe we'll bring her into studio at some stage to share the story. The World Cup. Talk to us a little bit about the World Cup. What did you think of it? Did it live up to your expectations? I suppose the football. Did you enjoy the football?
Yeah, I think most people would probably, like, in terms of statistics and in terms of records, like, I don't know how many records were broken, mm-hmm. whether it's new teams making it to the knockout stages, yeah, South Africa, Jamaica, Colombia, Morocco, like, incredible amount of new teams showing up on the big stage. So it's not, we saw the USA get knocked out to Sweden, I think it was, on penalties. The first time they've ever been knocked out at that early, the same with Germany. So with all the problems and trouble that we had seen in the build-up to it, where people weren't getting the same, I suppose, support,
mm-hmm.
they still, despite that fact, showed what they could do, exactly, yeah. Which is obviously encouraging. Now to think, what could they do if they did get that support? Where would they go? How much can soccer or football grow is exciting to see. And I think even here, I mentioned the Aviva Stadium. We saw the knock-on effect it had with breaking a record. Firstly, being able to play in the Aviva Stadium, but then having 36,000 people
mm-hmm.
attend the game is incredible. So from my perspective, the World Cup was unbelievable. I think I almost watched every single game. I think a lot of people I know who maybe wouldn't have watched women's sport ever, maybe not ever, but consistently tuned in as well, which is obviously good. I know from an Ireland perspective, say RTE, RTE Player, etc., breaking records for viewership numbers. I don't know maybe how it did when Ireland weren't playing, but it's still encouraging to see.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's up to us and up to everyone else to make sure that we keep that momentum going.
And continue on the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in terms of the football, like, I thought the standard of football was really good, and there were some really, really exciting games. And as you said, some new teams, like, look, the US are reigning champions. I think they had won the last two World Cups and have a couple more wins in the bag as well. So to see that challenged, and obviously there's a huge story around Spain, and, you know, that they won despite some of the issues that were going on in their camp. So, yeah, I think the football quality was great. And I think I talked to a couple of people before the World Cup, and they weren't necessarily committing to watching it. Some male friends that I have, and they're like, oh yeah, I don't know, like, if I'll tune in. But they actually did get into it when it was going on, and have been watching some football with my housemates, and they were really into the penalties, and have actually been we were watching Arsenal play a couple of weeks ago. They had flicked over from a men's game that was on. They were like, this is more entertaining than the match we were just watching, and it was good at the time. Katie was playing pretty well, and it's nice to turn on the TV and an Irish athlete performing. But they were getting into it, and I think that's a huge part of the opportunity something like a World Cup brings, where you're putting a huge world event in front of people. They kind of get a little bit interested, and then after that it kind of rolls over into the effect after, which we saw with the Aviva. And, you know, to be honest, I was a little bit, like, nervous about you know, this being the first time ever that the women's football team had played in the Aviva Stadium. I had seen an amount of promotion and an amount of conversation around it, but I wasn't sure how many people are actually going to show up. Like, that's what you want, is that commitment. And the tickets were obviously on sale, like, before, like, around the World Cup time and before the World Cup had actually happened. So I was hoping that the people that had bought the tickets beforehand were actually again going to show up. But credit where credit is due, like, it was six people under 36,000 people were there in the stadium. Good atmosphere. A win for Ireland. Great to have Ireland and Northern Ireland playing together. And I think that added as well to the attendances, because it was easier, obviously, for a country like Northern Ireland to come down and play. So, yeah, I think in that respect, we are seeing some success. I think in terms of, like, some other things, like, I think maybe, like, we saw, like, Abby Larkin's community hugely get behind her, and the respective communities around the country get behind them. But I think I would have liked to see a bit more in terms of, like, Irish flags and that kind of thing in shops and in bars, that people were saying if the men were playing they would have seen. So there was a couple complaints on Twitter in that respect, that the whole nation could have gotten that little bit further behind the team. But I think next time we go to a big tournament, we'll see that grow again.
Yeah, hopefully next time we go to a big tournament is only around the corner. But I think another big factor that maybe some people have missed is the fact that it was on a Saturday,
yeah,
as opposed to a weekday. And the kickoff time, say, for example, the kickoff time against Albania, maybe by the time this podcast has gone out, the game might have already happened. But The kickoff time is like 6 o'clock or quarter to six or something around that anyway on a weekday, which is ridiculous. I honestly don't know if it's UEFA, if it's the FAI. I don't know who is coming up with these times, but it actually is ridiculous.
In terms of the men's matches, like I'll be honest, like I don't follow the men's team very closely. Like I've been to games in the past. Like I know I have been to a game like on a Tuesday or Thursday. Are they at those times? Or are they a bit later? Is it 7, 8 o'clock? Is it more accessible?
Yeah, normally it's quarter to eight or eight p.m. Like okay. I don't really understand why. Like I'm very confused as to why the case.
Yeah, because we've had games, you know, from the Irish women's team's perspective where they've been at like 5 and 5:30, and it does make it challenging for fans to attend.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you have kickoff times so people can go to them. Otherwise, what's the point?
The product has to be available to be purchased. Like, yeah, that's what it is.
So I don't really understand what's going on there. But again, testament to the support that this team has now that they've sold out Tallaght Stadium again. So that's obviously great. But I think more games at the weekend is definitely something that should happen. I don't understand why.
Later too, like I think changing the time could make a huge difference. Yeah. And to be honest, like obviously they've had success and Tallaght Stadium has sold out, and I know that they're hoping to open a new stand in Tallaght in the next few months as well, so that should bring up the capacity to about 10,000, I think. But I was talking to a few people, and like I know myself, like I don't have a ticket, so I won't be there, you know, and I'll be watching the game, obviously. But I have a few friends that were like, oh, I'd love to go, but the tickets were gone. So there is actually that appetite and that market for people that want to go. And I suppose, you know, when will we see the team play next in the Aviva will be the interesting one. And I think it's we've had that success now with 36,000 people. So how do we build on that again? Supply and demand, they're making people interested in terms of Tallaght, that people are like, oh, I'd love to go. So hopefully we'll keep that momentum and continue.
And I suppose on women's football in Ireland, anyway, we're at a point where, look, the demand is there. We're selling out stadiums. And of course, there's some big personalities in the team like Katie McCabe, Denise O'Sullivan. But now it's up to, again, everyone else, one, to support the other athletes and to help them build their profile. So it's not just the Katie show, which, look, inevitably it's going to be. But there are other high quality players there and high quality personalities there that their stories need to be shared. Because, look, now is the time. Like, I don't think we're going to get a better time than right now to push, especially women's football. It's on a massive high, like massive high. Like, I even find myself wanting to know, like, how is Linda Caicedo doing in Spain or whatever it might be. So there are names there that people will remember from the World Cup from an international perspective. But then if you come, like, look, we're always laughing that Abby Larkin seems to have, I don't know how many fan accounts on TikTok, and so does Katie McCabe. But then how do we grow everyone else's, I suppose, profile?
Awareness, and look, that's something that we're obviously trying to do. Like, we try and catch up with as many of the, you know, athletes, were in this case we're talking footballers, as possible to share their stories. And I think it's interesting, actually, there were a few fantastic stories of athletes from different countries in the World Cup, and that actually might be something that we should look at, is sharing those stories, because they were phenomenal players, phenomenal stories in terms of what people achieved. And there is, you know, they are playing in leagues that are accessible, you know. The fact that the girl I was speaking about earlier, like, went over to Arsenal, and a good friend of mine went with her. And if you asked me, like, a couple of years ago, did I think that Jess would be going over to the UK to go to an Arsenal game, I'd be like, oh no. But like, she's over, she's loving it, like, she's raging, she hasn't got a ticket for the Albania game. So again, it is you know, uplift the product and put it there for people, and they will come, and I think that's what we're seeing.
Last thing to maybe wrap things up on it, I know we obviously shared a lot of content during the World Cup, what was it, maybe 5 days before it kicked off, and then a good bit after it. In the space of maybe 40 days, I think we had around 4 million impressions on our channels, purely dedicated to the World Cup. So that just shows you, one, how interested our audience were, and maybe you know, outside of our audience, but just to show, it just shows what the potential was. And I know the FAI had produced content over the course of it, and I think they had 60 million impressions for the content that they produced. And I know I met some of the content team at a Sport for Business thing, and testament to the work that they did, because I know how difficult it must have been to be creating content constantly during camp. So positives all around, anyway.
I suppose a final one for me, and that is showing the appetite in our community of bringing them on with big events, with new sports. Like, not everybody in our community comes from a footballing background, but they can get involved in the sport, and that's something that our audience is always interested in, is learning about new sports and that type of thing. But I suppose a couple of the other highlights, we got a little sidetracked in terms of football, but a few of the other highlights that we have over the last couple of months is we did our rugby mascot series with Vodafone, which is exciting. Great to bring some young girls out to meet their heroes. Some really, really brilliant content there, and the Interpros is amazing, like a great event, supported by Vodafone. And a win for Leinster, which was a surprise given the strength of Munster over the last couple of years. So what else have we been doing? We're working on an exciting campaign with Dove, so that'll be out over the next few weeks. Really exciting to see how that content is going to turn out, and the campaign that they're working on in terms of trying to support girls in sport, and raising the self-esteem of girls is really, really exciting and something that we're proud to be part of. Golf Ireland Chip and Chat event, the Lunar Golf, is coming up. I've been at some of the events that they've hosted, and it's proud to be working with them in terms of encouraging more women in golf. There's a huge mix of people come down to the events. Like, they can be complete beginners and they show up, they've no clubs, and you have people that are out like a couple times a week, and the age range is great as well. Like, you have young professionals right up to people that are retired, and they're all connecting with each other and have opportunities, I suppose, to get into the sport, make new friends, and also go out and then golf with new people. So it's a good program run by Golf Ireland, and hoping that they'll continue it into next year.
Just on that, I know we've obviously been doing a bit of work with them for it, and to help promote the Chip and Chat, and I'm fairly sure or they have sold out each time, which is really impressive. So really innovative from them, and good to see that it's working, and hopefully more people can get I'm not a golfer, but hopefully more people can get into golf. And
I think I know I've had this conversation a few times, but like, I'm passionate about making golf a more accessible sport for women, and a lot of people talk about how business is done on the golf course, and sometimes women would feel a little bit left out of that, because they haven't either been exposed to the sport, or haven't got the skills, or maybe the confidence sometimes to go for it. So I'm really glad to be working with Golf Ireland on this project over the last year to make golf more accessible for and encourage them to get involved. So some really exciting things that we've been working on, and some really great content that we've produced, and we're proud of.
I guess the next big one is the Do It For Her campaign that we've been doing. So if you want to talk about that
in terms of what we're trying to achieve, like, some of the goals that we have are to increase participation of girls and women in sport, increase attendance at games and at women's sporting events, and to increase the recognition of female athletes. So for girls and women to be on par with their male counterparts. So Do It For Her encapsulates all of this, and we launched it last year on International Day of the Girls. So that was the 11th of October in 2022. And we had two pieces of content that year that really stimulated a lot of conversation. We caught up with girls between the ages of 8 and 13 and talked to them about sport, gender equality. We asked them about different athletes, like, did they recognize some of the different female and male athletes? And we put together this amazing content that really resonated with people nationally, but also we saw a huge uplift in it recently in terms of internationally, and the conversations that people are having in India and Pakistan and a couple of other countries around the content that we've created. It had over 12 million views, if not more. We had a lot of high performance athletes and elite athletes share it. We had people in media, we had TDs share it. Like, there was so many people could relate to the content that we created, and it really started a lot of conversations. And something that we, so I suppose starting the conversation was one thing, and we also launched our MVP platform that day. So MVP, most valuable player, and that's what we called it that for, to keep it in line with sport. And I suppose in terms of that is we offer exclusive discounts, we have a monthly competition, we have access to tickets for our MVP members, and they're also supporting us and backing us in terms of the work that we're doing. So we don't ever want to have Her Sport to be a paywalled content site. Like we want to have accessibility to the world of women's sport and in terms of the content that we create, and we're trying to share all of these amazing stories and feature female athletes. But in terms of the work that we do, like, a lot of hard work goes into it. We have a team that need to be paid, that are putting a lot of hard work into doing what we're doing. The lights need to stay on, our rent needs to be paid and all that kind of thing. So in terms of producing content and sharing the stories of women's sport, and like we're providing a service for a demand that's there, and people really believe in the mission and in terms of changing things for girls and women's sport from grassroots to elite level as well. Like, we know the struggles that are happening at grassroots level, and for people that believe in what we do and want to support us, the MVP platform is a great way to do it, as well as all of the amazing benefits that you get as well. Do you want to talk, I suppose, a bit about some of the access to tickets and stuff and to the events that we have gone to over the last couple of months?
Yeah, I suppose maybe to rein it back quickly, the reason why or why I think the Do It For Her campaign is important is because I suppose maybe sometimes internally, but particularly externally, a lot of people can just see Her Sport as a media organization, which we are a media organization, but we're much more than that. And education and changing and having an impact for girls and women in sport through participation, attendances and recognition is why we do what we do. And the media side is how we do it. So I think it's probably important to acknowledge that as well, that while we do create content, it's because we are trying to increase that visibility, showcase those role models, and then also provide education through that.
It's creating that cultural change. Like, that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to create a cultural change. And media, we talked about it before, we went with a media first approach, like, because we wanted to leverage digital, leverage social media to reach as many people as possible. But you're touching on education there. Like, a huge amount of what we're trying to do is education of our digital audience, but also going to schools, clubs and workplaces to talk about the landscape of women's sport and the barriers that girls and women face and how we can change them.
Yeah, well, even I know Sport Ireland did some research, and one of the biggest reasons why girls drop out of sport or don't play sport is because they don't see themselves as sporty and they don't feel good enough. And that is because of the messaging that they've been receiving since, I suppose, they were born. Whether, you know, you're not good enough, or sport is for boys, or you're getting kicked off pitches for certain things, or they're not passing to you in PE, whatever it might be. And that's what we're trying to change through, you know, showcasing these role models, but then also showcasing, there might be, you might be good at GA, you might not be good at GA, but there might be luge that you could try and you could be good at. I think it's important to showcase the different sports, also showcase the different role models, which is what we're doing. But from the MVP side of things, like you said, we offer exclusive benefits. Not only, I suppose, you're not only supporting our mission and what we're doing to deliver the workshops and deliver the content, but you're also getting benefits through that. So whether it be discounts to some of the biggest brands in Ireland and I suppose globally, but also exclusive competitions. So this month we have two tickets to go to the Katie Taylor Chantal Cameron fight in the Three Arena, which is obviously great. I'd love to go. Can I enter? I don't know, but those are some of the competitions that we hold. We also give our members exclusive tickets to sporting events. So we brought, I don't know how many people to the Aviva Stadium.
50.
We brought people to the Athletics National Championships, to the GA Ladies Football Final, to the Camogie Final. So that's, in my opinion, again, like, one, we're getting people to go to games, but also, you know, if you're an MVP, you get to go to games, which is obviously great.
I suppose part of the MVP, being an MVP member, like, one thing that we find in the world of women's sport is that sometimes you are the one friend of your group of friends that is interested in going to the events, but through becoming an MVP member, you can actually come and meet like-minded people, and we want to bring people together to go to these sporting events together. And you know, that is making an impact, like, bringing all of those people to the different events. Like, we brought 50 people to a new record attendance at the Aviva Stadium, and to make sure, like, that's how passionate we are, is we want to make sure that those records are broken and that people are there to support you know, the football team. And in terms of the All-Ireland Camogie final, we had maybe 30 or 40 people came with us to that event, and that again was a new record attendance for a Camogie final. So in terms of, you know, people are getting access to great benefits, but we are making an impact all the time. We're exposing people to new events, to new sports, and we're introducing people to each other, where they are finding other people that want to be sports fans and that are sports fans and don't have to rely maybe on their school friends or their work friends if they're not into it. It's finding people that are like you and want to go to these games too. So really is kind of full circle, I suppose, the in terms of what we're trying to achieve is to try and make impact across all levels, participation, attendance and recognition of female athletes.
Yeah, no, for sure. I suppose I'm curious to know from your side, and maybe a lesson for people listening or watching, why do you think the Do It For Her campaign has been so successful? Like you said, over 12 million people have watched it. Not a single cent has been spent on, you know, ads. It's all organic, people naturally sharing it. Like, why do you think that has been so successful?
Yeah, I think in terms of the campaign, like, a lot of people, I think, believe that women's sport has progressed significantly. And I think we are seeing it at the elite level. And we've talked about that, like, you know, the fact that Katie Taylor was able to headline Madison Square Gardens, the fact that we are making progress in terms of, say, the football team playing in the Aviva and the numbers that brought. But a lot of people seem to think that when it's fixed at elite level, it's fixed at grassroots level. And we get a lot of messages all the time about the different challenges and difficulties that female athletes and female teams are having. So to hear it, I guess, from girls that are between the ages of 8 and 13 and can already see a difference, I think people then realised, oh, maybe it's not solved. Maybe there's still a long way to go. And you know, these are kids that are already noticing the difference and already noticing that they're being treated differently to their male counterparts, and these in some scenarios are their brothers. And you know, we hear of, you know, inter-county players where sometimes there's a brother and a sister playing at an inter-county level, and you know, the girls, there's a direct comparison, and the girls and women are just like, we just don't get treated the same. And you know, we're seeing that a lot at grassroots level, and there's some clubs that are doing fantastic work, but there's other clubs that need to really look at what their strategy is and what they're doing and how they can make these changes. And look, we're here to help in terms of, like, we do deliver our educational workshops in clubs, and you know, one of the first steps is, I suppose, instilling you know, confidence in these girls, encouraging these girls and making them believe that they can do it, and they have, you know, every right and every opportunity to do so. And you know, we work with them on some of the barriers and challenges that they might face, and offer advice to coaches, to parents and to clubs on simple things that they can do and that they can execute in their clubs to make sure that they are trying to level the playing field and change things. But yeah, I think it really resonated with a lot of people. I think female athletes, a lot of them had those experiences, and they want to see things change for the next generation. Parents of girls are also seeing or people that have nieces and nephews or cousins or whatever are seeing some of these same challenges in their kids or in the people that they meet. So and then also the people that have had those experiences, like the women that left for the different reasons that are still happening, and feel maybe they had a missed opportunity. You know, you do have women that reflect and say, oh, I would love to stay involved in sport, but I left because of you know, a whole myriad of reasons, and they want to see things change. Like for me, like I want every girl to have the opportunity to reap the benefits and rewards from sport. And like, I know that sport offered me so much and really shaped like who I am, and I suppose the skills that I have, and you know, in terms of my confidence and the ability that I have to, you know, lead a team, be part of a team, work with a team, whatever it might be. And I absolutely credit sport with a huge amount of that. How to win and lose, like we get told no all the time, but you know, you have to pick yourself up and stay motivated and go again. And you know, if we're letting girls and women drop out of sport, they're missing out on these opportunities that can make a huge impact. And you know, we know that 94% of women in executive managerial positions have a background in sport. So if we're not providing girls and women with these opportunities to be involved in sport at grassroots level as kids, this does have a knock-on effect in terms of their professional career. as one thing, also in terms of their physical and mental health. So yeah, I suppose the work in terms of what we're doing around the education is something that we're really passionate about, and the conversation that the Do It For Her campaign stimulated was huge, and I guess something that we want to continue. So in terms of what it holds for the future, like we launched the second Do It For Her campaign this year, again, stimulated a lot of conversation and people could relate to the conversation. And then I think we're now looking at this whole Do It For Her strategy, and what does Do It For Her mean for her sport, and what can we do? So we're looking into the future, and education is a huge part of that. So we're looking for partners to come in and to back us in this, to try and help us create that cultural change that are passionate about, you know, gender equality and the value that sport can offer, empowering their employees, creating change in their local communities. And education is going to be a huge part of that. Maybe if you want to talk a bit about the education and the impact that it can have.
Yeah, so I suppose in terms of the education, it is something that we are trying to focus on over the next 12 months. I think we see the huge value that education can play in tackling the barriers, helping people make informed decisions, providing solutions to what we, based on research, how we believe can, I suppose, help change things for, like you said, coaches, parents, the athletes themselves, or honestly, you can call them athletes, but even just people who want to play sport, like the casual sports fan. From the perspective of the workshops that we have delivered, the results have been really, really good. I think 99% of students who have participated in the workshops have said that they'd recommend it to other students, which is obviously great. Some of the statistics I have here, that 99% of students felt more empowered to deal with some of the obstacles and barriers that they may face. 94% of students are more likely to continue sport, which that's what we're trying to change. Again, it all ties back into our goals of participation, attendance, and recognition. So to see those results are obviously fantastic, and we want to ensure that we can get to as many people as possible to help, I suppose, make a change. We want to deliver these, like you said, to schools, sports clubs, colleges, mm-hmm. and corporates, not only in Dublin, but around the world, obviously, but around the country as well. And like you said, that's what we're working on with SEI, and what we'll hopefully be working on with some partners with our Do It For Her campaign, which we're hoping to, I suppose, come up with a strategy that can be a 3-year plan where we set out targets, we set out goals that, okay, these are the amount of people that we want to impact, this is the impact that we want to have, and these are the brands that we want to work with to help us go on this journey and actually make a difference.
Yeah, and I think it's good that we obviously have some results from the workshops that we've already done, and in terms of the children that aren't participating in sport, it's 85% of the children that, you know, aren't currently participating in sport were interested in re-engaging and giving sport a try. And, you know, we talked to them about some of the different reasons, like maybe they're just in a sport that they don't enjoy anymore, and showing that there's a lot more sports out there. And we have 91% would attend or watch a women's sporting event, which was a 36% increase on before the workshop. And then the knowledge of female athletes increased by 77%. So they all directly tie into our goals with PAR. Yeah, so in terms of like working with Social Entrepreneurs Ireland, you know, we mentioned that we were about to start working with them on the last episode. How have you found that experience so far? You've mentioned we are obviously working around the education side of things. We're doing a bit on our strategy and really bringing clarity around that. What do you think?
So far, it's been brilliant. I think obviously we've been working closely with Sophie, and I think she definitely puts her all into everything. You definitely feel that personal connection and that she does care, which I think, from my perspective, is great. I think they really try and understand where we want to go, and they're trying to help us get there. Introduce us to some really intelligent people and having some really good conversations. And I think, like you said, maybe with the ultimate goal of trying to further our workshops, we're now trying to figure out, okay, how do we get there? Because we have like millions and millions of ideas, but what's the most efficient way for us to get there? And I think we're working on that. It's obviously a slow process, because, you know, sometimes you want to keep an idea or you want to focus on one area, but it might not actually be bringing us the right sort of value. So that's where we're trying to, that's what we're trying to work on at the moment. And it's challenging. It's a lot of work, but I think ultimately it will give us a better idea of what we're doing over the next 3 to 5 years, because ultimately for us, it is about making an impact. So how can we do that in the best way possible? What about you?
Yeah, no, I think it's brilliant. Like, obviously we work with a couple of different people on their team, and they all have different skill sets, and there's so much to learn. And even just hearing the different perspectives, like, I know we've obviously worked with Tim a good bit, and even to have Tara in the conversation the last day gave us a whole new group of things to consider, I suppose, in terms of the development. But yeah, the conversations, I suppose, that they've facilitated with other people in their network that have either done something similar, or maybe have experience in areas that we're trying to get an insight to, has been fantastic. So yeah, no, I think the work that we're doing is brilliant. Like, we really are trying to refine that strategy and always considering the impact and the education and the visibility that we're trying to provide. So that's great to be working on, and education, as we've discussed, is a huge part of what we're trying to do. And as you've mentioned, we want to impact as many people as possible. So how can we really increase that scale, and really looking at longer term partnerships to do that and to bring it into schools? Like, we know the impact that sport can make, and you hear so many people talk about it. Like, if you go and look at the men's side of things in the world of sport, like, you will hear business leaders talk about it, you'll hear ex-athletes talk about it, the importance and the value that sport gave to them. So I'm kind of a bit surprised at how long it's taking people to actually realize, like, we need to offer this to girls and women to make sure that they have the same opportunities to develop themselves. So I think there's going to be some really interesting conversations over the next while as we further develop that, and yeah, looking forward to it. It's good to have people that have different experiences and expertise to help us along the way, and really help us with that. So
obviously at the moment our workshops are all in person. We have a number of different facilitators who I suppose deliver the workshops. We're trying to get more athletes to facilitate it and deliver it as well, because we know the impact of having an athlete come into a school and deliver a talk.
Also provides an opportunity of work for athletes as well. Like, we know it's a tough gig being an athlete, and holding in a part-time job or a full-time job as well as being an athlete can be really, really tough. So it tends to be their full-time job, but some people do have to step out of their sport because they can't afford to do it anymore. And what we're doing provides, I suppose, a flexible work opportunity while also going around to inspire the next generation. And like, I've delivered some of the talks, and it's brilliant to do the workshops with the different groups and to have the conversations and really feel like you're inspiring them and you're empowering them and encouraging them to stay involved. So something that they can, I suppose, continue to fund their lifestyle while also giving back to society and community.
And I guess the next step for us from the education side is obviously continue to deliver the in-person workshops, but we're trying to develop something where we can, I suppose, provide the workshops at a scale to across the country, whether it's an e-learning platform or whatever it might be. So do you want to talk to us about what that might look like, or what we're trying to do there, or what support we're looking for?
Yeah, so in terms of that, we want to impact as many different people as possible, and we know that school is where we can offer the same opportunities to all the children, essentially. And the value of sport will be different in different households. There is a monetary factor that plays with people being involved in sport. Like, some sports can be very expensive, we're in schools, we believe that we can connect with everyone, and offer all these children the same opportunities and encourage and inspire them to be involved. So we want to impact as many people as possible. So we're developing our e-learning platform, I suppose, at the moment, in terms of having some of the conversations and talking about the barriers, something that can potentially be teacher-led or student-led as well, and stimulate conversations amongst themselves. In terms of participating in sport as an athlete, like, that's one thing, but what if somebody wants to be a journalist? What if somebody in the room is passionate about gender equality, and just stimulating all these conversations and showing the opportunities? On the last episode, you mentioned that you wanted to be a professional footballer when you grew up, and when that opportunity didn't arise, that you were like, oh, well, I can't, unless I'm a professional athlete, like I can't be involved in sport. And it's just not true. And it's showcasing that as well to the students, that you can be involved in sport in so many different capacities too. So in terms of support, like we're looking to learn from teachers and from the school system, like in terms of like what is the thing that will fit into their system as best possible. Like we can check the box in terms of a few things that are on the course curriculum, like particularly looking at something like LCPE. We can offer that kind of range, I suppose, in terms of participation as an athlete or as a coach or as a journalist. Like there's lots of different types of things that you can do on the programs that we're trying to do.
Well, I suppose we actually do feature in the Leaving Cert PE book. I think that it is the Do It For Her campaign that's actually in that, talking about media coverage and talking about the disparity in sport. And then I know we also feature in the SPHE book. So in terms of the support, I think, like I said, we're looking at doing something for the next 3 to 5 years for the Do It For Her campaign. And I guess the challenge for us is trying to find the right partners who want to come with us on the journey and actually make an impact. So we're in the process of, I guess, coming up with that strategy and what that might look like. And while that might be Ireland focused at the moment, I know we are always talking about going to the UK and what that might look like as well. So looking at new markets too, but I guess the e-learning platform is probably something that we're really focusing on now and trying to see, okay, what does that look like? Who can we get involved with it? And then how do we get them into schools?
Yeah, how many children can we impact? And I suppose, I know we're talking about e-learning is going to be a big part of it, but it will be hybrid. Like we will always be sending, whether it's local athletes or high performance athletes, out to the schools so that you know, role model piece is always there, and the ethos of can't see, can't be.
I suppose we've probably been chatting for quite a while and there seems to be a construction happening beside us, which isn't great, but finally wrapping it up. If we want to quickly mention what's coming up, the Her Sport Awards, our biggest event, I suppose, of the year, but the event actually takes place next year in January. But do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so in terms of the Her Sport Awards, they're going to be on January 27th in UCD, which we've hosted it there for the last 2 years. So really exciting to bring it back and you know, celebrate all the amazing female athletes and teams and people that are in the women's sporting community. We've featured it on TG Cahir for the last 2 years as well. So looking forward to bringing it to more eyes on national television. But yeah, it's a brilliant event. Like we meet different athletes on the night, people involved in the world of women's sport, have some really interesting panel discussions. You know, we also induct someone into the Hall of Fame. So we always got that, I suppose, perspective of what has the journey been like over the last you know, number of years, like how far have we come. So yeah, it's a great event. You know, there'll be lots of athletes there in the night, and it's open to the public to come to and to be part of the conversation, part of the event. So yeah, we're just finalizing a couple of things in the background. It'll be launched over the next couple of weeks, and yeah, if you're around, definitely come down to the event. Like it's an exciting event to be part of, and yeah, I'll have the pleasure of being on stage again. So if you want to see me nervous on stage getting through the content, come down. Welcome to be there.
I definitely say if you haven't been, it's definitely worth attending. I think just it's a huge celebration of women's sport, and there is some really good conversations on the night that I think stand to you for the year, and I think we like to see it as kicking off the new year as well. There'll be a lot of different discussions that we will be having on the night that I think will be worthwhile, and honestly it's welcoming of all ages. Don't think you
that's something that we always want to do in any of the events that we have, like even the watch parties. Like sometimes we've obviously hosted watch parties in bars or pubs, but like we check with them about being able to have children there, if it's at like, you know, 6 or 7, like that under 18s can be there and be part of the event, because that's the power of, you know, meeting the role models and seeing the events and seeing the teams play. And in terms of the athletes that were there last year, like Anya O'Gorman, Amy Broadhurst were fantastic with all of the kids that were coming up and adults that were coming up to get pictures. And we're really, really generous with their time. We had Lisa Fallon as part of the panel discussion, who's been huge in terms of, you know, a role model in terms of the being involved as a coach and a manager in sport. And it was just brilliant. And I guess that's part of the event. Like, we had rugby players there, swimmers there. Like, we've a lot of elite athletes are attending the event, and they're so accessible for, you know, people to talk to, kids to talk to, and leave a long lasting impression. So get your tickets.
I think if you are a parent, if you are a grandparent, if you are an aunt, uncle, older sibling, I don't think you can underestimate the value of normalizing women's sport and bringing younger people to those events, because we do it for the men. Like, we'll go and attend a men's match, or we go and attend a men's sport event. But would you do the same for what's interesting, maybe to bring it up, is I'd seen a post on LinkedIn. I don't know the exact company, but I know they're a part of Standard Chartered. And they had mentioned that you queried them on why they haven't done a activation around the women's team, because they sponsor Liverpool Football Club. And you can probably tell me more, but I read the post and it's quite interesting.
Yeah, so I guess in terms of the team at Zodia, I met them a couple of months ago. And look, it's conversations I have with anybody that we meet in the world of business and in the corporate world, like talking about what they do for client entertainment or team bonding and that type of thing. And I just ask them, because they're working with Standard Chartered, and Standard Chartered are supporting Arsenal. I said, had they ever gone to a women's game, because they go to the men's? And they said, actually, no, we haven't. So recently they held an event where the people went to the women's game, and you know, they're getting to see some unbelievable players, and just back from the World Cup, and some serious talent, you know, Leah Williamson, Katie McCabe, a couple of the others that are there, and there was kids there, and it's a huge long lasting impact. So it's good to see, I suppose, the ripple effect that we have when we have conversations with people, that it's something that people just don't always think about, and because it's not the norm, maybe don't realize that they haven't done. And just to see that you know, play out in real life, and know that we're stimulating conversation that then creates real changes is amazing. So hopefully people that are listening to this maybe consider that as well. You know, we had some activations around the World Cup where we encourage people to get involved in fantasy football, and that happens, like fantasy football and sweepstakes and stuff happens in workplaces for men's sport, and doesn't really in women's sport. So let's make it normal, let's do it, go to the games, get involved in the tournaments, and it can stimulate conversation.
We actually put out a poll before the World Cup, asking people had they ever done like a fantasy football, fantasy game or sweepstakes, anything like that for women's sport in their offices, and 95% of people said no, which says it all, really. But just to maybe correct you on that one thing, Standard Chartered sponsor Liverpool. I know you said Arsenal there, but you know, they went to the Arsenal game, so it still counts.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, other than that, I think I'm all talked out. Same. Unless we want to say something else, I don't know.
No, I guess just for people that are watching, I mean, if you've made it this far, you've made it a pretty long way. But if you are interested in becoming an MVP, head over to members.hersport.ie. We really would appreciate anyone becoming a member and supporting the work that we do and the impact that we're creating. I hope through this conversation you've heard things in terms of the participation that we're impacting, the attendance, and the recognition of female athletes, and how we're really trying to create that cultural shift. And you get access to some amazing benefits too. So come along with us to the next games, get access to some amazing discounts, and there's a monthly competition as well, and you're entered in a competition with a finite number of people there, so your chances of being a winner is pretty high. That would be amazing. And if you're not in a position to become a member, we'd really appreciate if you hit that subscribe button, because it will allow us to do more. It will allow us to bring on more guests, and it will show the value of Hersport and what we're doing for any partners that we might speak to in future. So thanks for listening.